All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com. All you got to do is call 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You might get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction. Nobody wants to, but when you do, you need representation. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, they will cover you. They will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And my next guest has been hiking in the mountains of Colorado, and he may need a personal injury attorney if he, in fact, ran into a couple of bears out there. I don't know. He's Marcelo Balboa, the former U.S. international and World Cup member for the United States. Marcelo, are you safe?
I am safe. I did roll my ankle, so I do need an attorney. There was a big rock that got in my way and rolled me over. But man, I got lucky. I don't get to see too many bears. Just a roar of a mountain lion a few years back, and that scared me enough to hike with a knife in my hand.
Well, do you know where that rock is? We could sue that rock if we want.
Well, I heard you got a good attorney right there, so we'll talk later.
Well, we got a great firm, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are putting soccer on the radio, sir. So we do, and we are very appreciative of them. All right, so before we get into U.S. national team talk.
Hold on.
Okay,
you need to come hiking with me. We keep talking about this.
I know. I remember back in the HDNet days, we went on the bicycle ride, and my lungs almost blew up.
I just sent you pictures of what it's like hiking in the snow. You've got to come hiking with me, my man.
Let me pull my phone up here. All right, so your beard, you look like a Nordic Viking here. You look like a Nordic Viking. I'm looking at it. It's frozen, man. Your face is red as can be.
Can you see the side of the face where the wind was hitting and the snow was hitting?
Yes.
I've got frost all over my beard, my nose. I tell you what, though, I wouldn't trade it for the world, Glenn. It is the most peaceful, surreal thing. I mean, I could hear every bird. Every creature out there, it was just so quiet and peaceful today. It's ridiculous.
No, it looks amazing. You know something that's funny? Because my dad was in World War II, and when we used to live near a thing called the Great Swamp in New Jersey, his thing was long, quiet walks. And he'd do them with his kids and without them. But I always thought it was something, maybe post-traumatic from World War II, but that was his way of kind of handling it. But these pictures look gorgeous, and I've seen you on these walks, man. It's amazing, and I will be up there. I love Colorado.
All right, good.
All right, so Marcelo Balboa, it's the adventures in hiking, but now we're going to talk some U.S. National team. So, look, Costa Rica, 1-0 win. Are we getting a little bit too overexcited about this?
Who's excited about this?
I see the press, friendly win, exciting, are we getting a little bit too over the top on this? Some of the fans, maybe?
Listen, let me ask you, you probably watched the game. Who excited you? Who really said, God, this game, because this camp was called Stake Your Claim. That means this is an opportunity for you to come out here. This is an opportunity for you to show against Costa Rica that you want to put a stake in your claim and that you want to make this your position. You want to make this 20-man roster coming up for Nations League. You want to make the 22-man roster for the World Cup qualifiers at the end of this year. I want to stake my claim on the U23 team and say, I've got that position. Tell me one player you felt that really did that besides Janus. Ulysses Janus, who scored the penalty, I thought he showed some things. Besides him, who really staked their claim in this one?
Well, I think a lot of guys had some nice moments, but no, I don't think anybody staked their claim. And we have to remember Yanez is 18 and he's not even playing for Wolfsburg.
No, listen, that's what I'm saying to you. I thought there was a few guys that showed well. I thought Aronson showed well when they were down the middle. I thought Ulysses showed some things down the right side. I thought Ferreira was lost a little bit playing as at 9 because he's more comfortable playing deeper. We really didn't see him get involved. So, the only thing I'll go back to this, I think the tempo was slow. I still have a hard time because I don't feel that there's much creativity. I feel like it's very structured. The two outside guys pinch in. The left back and the right back go flying up into the wings, and they attack with those guys. Long ball diagonal into the corner. I feel like there's no creativity with the players of doing things that really could, you know, just that little bit of flair, that little bit of individuality. I'm missing that part right now with the national team.
Talking to Marcelo Balboa, former U.S. national team center back, I think the other thing that jumps out to me is, look, it was a young team, 22 years of age, average.
Yeah.
And I think if these are the guys that are below a lot of the people that are getting the real playing time, it's not a bad thing for them to get opportunity like this against Costa Rica, although I would not say Costa Rica impressed me much.
Listen, I was lucky enough, Glenn, working for Univision. I was on the bench. I was listening to their coach. Let's be honest, the U.S. could have been down 1-0 off the header, off the crossbar that they should have scored. That could have gone in. Clear header. I was expecting more from both. Let me be honest. I was expecting more from Costa Rica, having the fact that they had a few veteran players in there. I wasn't expecting them to drop back and just sit in a block and defend and let the U.S. control. I thought the U.S. didn't do enough to really dictate the tempo of the game. The second half they did a little. The first 10 minutes they went down, they got the penalty, and then it kind of backed off. So, again, listen, this isn't the first team. This is not a first-team game. These kids are all playing in a January camp, which is awesome because it gives everybody an MLS that fits the profile, because Greg Berhalter made it very clear in the press conference that each position, they have a profile of characteristics of what they want in players that play in those positions. And those are the players they invited in, which I think is great. That is great. Now, are any of these kids going to make the first team come World Cup qualifiers come April or May, whenever the semifinal of Nations League? I would say probably not. None of them did enough for me to be invited into a first team camp.
As far as the younger kids, but Reggie Cannon may be a real in contention as a right back, and Aaron Long obviously had been getting minutes with the full team.
Yeah, but I don't look at them as that young group.
Right, you're talking about the real younger guys.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm talking the young crop of kids. Because look,
Cervania, Yanez.
We've seen Long. Yeah, we're talking Yanez, Ferreira. We're looking
Aronson.
At Aronson. We're looking at Jackson Ewell. We're looking at Sebastian Legette has already been on the national team. So I'm looking at Sammy Vine. You know, I mean, those are the kind of players that I was looking at more, and I was hoping that they would do a little more to make you stand out a little more. And walking out of the stadium, a few guys were, you know, I heard a few guys overheard a few things of people like, well, you know, there really wasn't a young player that really did anything besides the penalty kick. So I felt better because I'm thinking to myself, look, I didn't see a lot, and I was hoping to see more. Because I look at it this way, Glenn. When you get invited into a January camp, you got to do something. You got to do something to make yourself stick out in order for the coach to be like, okay, that kid, we see something in him. And I think maybe one or two. And then we're not even talking about Paxton Pomykal, who went back home because of this, a little injury. So I like the young crop of kids. I think this young group of kids will do a nice job with the under-23s and in qualifying, because Pulisic's not going to be released. Weston McKennie is not going to be released. Tyler Adams not going to be released. Those big-name players aren't going to be in qualifiers. So this team's going to have to find this group of young players that can qualify before you can have that three, before you can get those three back in.
By the way, there was a Houston area kid for my listeners on the bench, Christian Kappas from Katie, a 20-year-old, was on the bench, plays in the Danish Superliga. He did not get a game. Let me just take you back to when you talk about the United States, and of course you're the analyst also for the Colorado Rapids, and you see Sam Vines a lot. Tell us a little bit about what you thought you saw from him and what you've seen with him in Colorado.
Listen, this is a young kid who's played, I believe, 27, 28 games. And, you know, the bonus that he's left foot, he's fast. Every day he's getting better at learning to defend. So I think the thing, he goes well. He goes forward well. And I think that's what surprised me a little bit. I almost felt like he didn't get into the attack enough in the 70-something odd minutes he played. In the second half, I felt he kind of sat back a little bit, didn't really want to attack too much. But this is a kid, listen, I think, coming out of as a homegrown, coming out of our academy, I think this kid in the next year or two should be sold. And the reason I say that is because if you want to put legitimacy behind every academy, you've got to develop that player. He's played on the first team. When it gets to a point, you must sell him. You must sell him to show people that you are producing players that people want in Europe. And I feel that in the next year or two, that's probably the one kid that has the potential in the homegrown area right now that Colorado could sell in a year, maybe in a year and a half, for $1 million to $2 million.
Talking to Marcelo Balboa, the former U.S. national team member, played in a number of World Cups. Also, you see him on Univision with the Colorado Rapids, doing a lot of work. We had a great run at HDNet with our dearly departed Daryl Ewalt back in the day, and was thinking about him today, actually. He just came to my mind, Marcelo, because I guess you were coming on the show. It kind of triggered my mind, Daryl. He was a great guy.
He was awesome. He's the one that gave me an opportunity. He's the one that started me on this path of being a broadcaster and put me along with you, which was already doing it for quite a few years, which I got to say, man, I've been blessed. I've been blessed because you guys put me on a path that I never thought I would enjoy as much as I'm enjoying now.
Boy, it is. Probably it doesn't match being on the field, but it certainly is a great thing. I want to take you back to what you just said about Sam Vines and being sold to Europe. Are you surprised? Because I thought either Mauro Minotas here in Houston, who's had a lot of attention from a number of different teams, including in Portugal, and Albert Delis, neither of them go in this transfer window to Europe. Any thoughts on that? Did you think one of those guys would eventually be sold?
You know what? Good for Tap and good for Houston. You guys added some pieces this year. Houston was already dangerous enough from that five midfielders kind of forward with Martinez and all those guys. Going forward, you guys have always been dangerous. And I think the only thing that let you down last year to not make the playoffs was defensively. I'm just analyzing what I saw over the last year. And I think you guys struggled a little bit in goal. I think Tab now, with that kind of pace and creativity, the way Tab likes to play, bringing in Valentin and bringing in a few other players with a goalkeeper, I expect you guys to make the playoffs. That's my expectations. Now, on the other side, I thought Elis would have been sold by now, because if I'm a team in Mexico, if I'm a team somewhere else, there's two players that really interest me. And you said it, Minotas and Elis, because of their ability, how quick they are, how they move with the ball, the pace they have at going on goal. They're very direct. They want to go to goal. I would have thought that those two guys, one of those two, would have been sold. But on the other side, being a broadcaster in MLS, I'm so glad they didn't go, because when those two guys are on a roll and they're getting balls fed, they're probably top five attackers in Major League Soccer on the West Coast, in the Western Conference. I'd say that three in there, to me, is right up there amongst the best in the Western Conference.
Then you got Christian Ramirez, who they got from Minnesota as well. So you got a nice four set there that has been retained. Ramirez can play center forward if Minotas goes down injured. The question for me, though, is, and this is one of the questions I think Tab has got to figure out here, playing armchair analyst here, is Elise and Quintero, when the ball's turned over, not necessarily the most attentive.
Agreed.
And that might be a bit of a problem.
But if you watch what Tab's been able to do with the 17s over the last 8 years, he gets them to run back into a certain position and defend and put that mid block. They don't have to defend and chase the guy everywhere. They've got to be able to drop back and start that line of confrontation maybe 20 yards from the 18 and hold that line where your field's nice and compact. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And I think Tab will get that out of those two. You know what I mean? And especially if you get success right away, if you pick a ball out and all of a sudden you hit him quickly on the counter, I think a player's willing to do that more. If he sees what can benefit the team, if it's a 20-yard effort compared to before, where he had to chase back 40, 50, 60 yards, it's different. So I think when you bring in a new coach, tactically you're going to change things. You got to be able to use players that you have to their strength. We know Elis is not a guy that you want running back 60 yards and then having to run 80 yards to get to the goal. You know what I mean? So
and
I think watching Tab working with Tab, that Tab's done a nice job of being very specific on what their roles are, explaining the roles to them, and I think you'll see a different group of and not a different group. You have the same group, but with a different intention of how to defend, how to attack, how do we collapse in the middle, how we defend as a group, how we attack as a group, more of a united front instead of kind of a divided, you know, part.
Yeah, yeah, no, I would agree. And I think that that makes a lot of sense, just getting back, keeping the play in front of you, because once you do win it a little farther back, you do have more room in behind a defense that may be coming out. And that makes a lot of sense. That's astute from you right there. The goalkeeping position has been addressed with Marko Marić, brings some European pedigree, aggressive, plays well with his feet apparently as well. Marcelo, we're up on a hard break here. I'm going to let you go. Great stuff. Thank you very much for coming on. I enjoy vicariously living through your hikes in Colorado, so keep the pictures coming.
Buddy, I'm coming out to the NA Univision has February 29th. We have Houston, LA. I expect a nice dinner before before the game.
And you're giving me time to see. You guys stole our thunder here. We don't even get to do the opener because of you guys, but we'll still be your friends. It's okay.
No, listen, when we found out that we had that,
it's okay.
We were excited. And then when we found out that Chicharito was signing with LA, it even made it better. It's a bonus now. Imagine
all that. Right. Who's the mole at Univision who knew that was happening? Come on. Come on. Tell us who's the mole. All right. We're still going to dinner. We're not that mad at you because I'm still going to be at the game. All right, Marcelo, thank you very much for coming on. Great conversation there and great fun there with Marcelo Balboa. We'll take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
I was waiting by the screen. I couldn't recognize my photograph.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they are going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com, call 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. They will help you with your case. Nobody wants to get in an accident, but if you get in a car, motorcycle, industrial, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, is there for you. DaspitLaw.com. All right, recently had an opportunity to do an interview with the sporting director of Austin FC. Now, Austin FC will join Major League Soccer in 2021. They will be a rival to the Houston Dynamo. It sets up a nice trio of teams in Texas with FC Dallas, Austin FC, and the Houston Dynamo. And then that's before we get into talking about USL teams like San Antonio and the Austin Bolt. So things shaping up nicely for the state of Texas. But we did catch up with sporting director of Austin FC, newly signed, Claudio Reyna. Claudio, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
So there is a lot of excitement in Texas overall that Claudio Reyna is here. But in Austin, how about just your first impressions of Austin as a city?
Well, it's a beautiful city that is has a great energy about it, that is growing, sort of, you know, I could almost see it in front of my own eyes and the time I've spent in Austin. And it's a very, you know, lively and it's got a lot of young people in town with UT. But what I've, you know, somewhat been surprised with is how big soccer is and how everyone is excited about Austin FC. I knew there was a big buzz about it when it was announced, and it's grown, you know, over the last year, the momentum's building, but around town, running into a lot of people that have welcomed me, very friendly, you know, city that is excited to welcome and the club and the first professional sports club of any major sports in the city. And, you know, I've been really impressed and looking forward to you know, continue to, you know, learn about the city and meet new people. And, you know, it's coming from New York, you know, you get a sense of it being more of a community. It's smaller and, you know, you can get around quicker, unlike in New York with the traffic. And so, I'm really excited and looking forward to, you know, meeting new friends and new people. But there's no doubt that there's a very influential soccer community and a great base and foundation for us to continue to build a Austin FC.
So you get named the sports director, Claudio. I mean, where do you begin? What's the first thing, you know, on this blank slate that you kind of begin to focus on?
Well, you know, the one thing is just I'm really big on just getting to know, you know, the people within the club. So, you know, this first few weeks and month on the job is getting to know, you know, how Austin FC works. Every soccer club's organized a little bit different. So I have to make sure that I adapt into the culture and the way of working that exists there. And they have an incredible team. Our president, Andy Lochman, is amazing. And I've met really, you know, great people that have made me feel comfortable from day one and, you know, and are supporting, you know, the direction and kind of how I want to do things. You know, from the soccer side of it, you know, we have our head coach in place. We have a couple pieces of the academy that will continue to grow out over the coming months and years. And, you know, we just need to bring good people in. There's a lot of interest in terms of staff and people who want to come work at Austin FC, which is exciting. And, you know, I did this in New York, but, you know, I was 7 years in New York. And, you know, you give an opportunity for someone to, you know, work in the soccer industry for the first time. And, you know, it's something that I really value. So I while there's urgency in bringing people on board, I also need to be patient because I want to make sure I meet and have conversations and interview different people. And then it's about putting pieces and puzzle together in terms of the different departments and skill sets that these potential, you know, candidates bring. And, you know, in saying all that, the, you know, the scouting and recruitment side of it is the first part of what we're going to build. And, you know, I've already identified some of the staff that I want to bring in, a director of scouting, an assistant sporting director that'll work closely with me. And then all the other pieces around the sort of medical and performance that, you know, again, need high quality people. And, you know, I want to, the goal is to keep it lean, but with really high quality staff that have expertise and, you know, will, you know, just add to us. And every staff member that we bring is going to add, you know, their experiences and their energy and bring a great attitude. So it's putting a team together and then, you know, bringing the group dynamic together. Everyone needs to work and, you know, everybody's like myself coming from somewhere else where they have ideas and a way of working. And so we need to figure these things out. And that's really what I enjoy in the day to day is that, you know, you got to sit back and I do a lot of listening. I'm not someone who's going to sit there and talk and have long meetings. I want people to work hard and create a really good, energetic environment and atmosphere at the club. And as we move forward, then, of course, we'll add, you know, Josh will add assistant coaches. You know, we'll add, as I mentioned before, the medical staff and the team operations, everybody who helps the team work. And running parallel the entire time, obviously, is players and, you know, scouting players, meeting agents, you know, talking to them about Austin FC and the great city that it is. And, you know, and of course our stadium and training facilities being built, you know, as we speak. So that's amazing and very exciting for the city, for the club to have our own home and our own training facility, you know, to live and work every day. So lots to look forward to. It'll be here before we know it as well. As from my last experience that the days are long, but years go by pretty quick. And, you know, I'm really excited to continue to add to the staff that we have.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's hard to believe it's only about a year away. Claudio Reyna, sports director, joining us here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. This is Soccer Matters. You know, I go back to your New York City FC experience. You know, what are some of the big things you take out of that experience? Because, you know, obviously you're a very experienced man. You've got contacts all over the world. What out of the New York City FC experience was maybe the thing that really jumps out to you most, or maybe one or two things?
Yeah, Well, I think from the academy side is that we have an impact as a club, as a professional club in MLS, to really lift young players and inspire them. You know, when they see that there's an end to their pathway, it does something. You could feel it, and we had that impact at NYCFC, where it's a talented area, and there's certainly a pool of talent within the metropolitan New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area that has existed for years. I grew up there, and Tab Ramos and many of us who played for the national team, over the last many decades. But when you kind of then announce the club, what it does and lifts the spirit of young players and gives them that inspiration that they didn't have before. Now that's something we can do in Austin, and I feel it's going to have that same impact. We're going to bring in a great technical director for the academy that we're going to be close to announcing. That's going to be that first step. We have Tyson Wall leading from the sort of like academy director role and building relationships with the community. So on that side of it, I'm really looking forward to what we can do and inspire players in the community and in the greater Austin area. And then with the first team is obviously, building a team that's ready to compete, and it takes time. There's going to be, I strongly believe with each window we'll get better. Finding the right profile of players is important. I think, we had a strategy in New York that we stuck with, and we felt that was specific to New York because, as you know, there's so many things going on in New York. So we wanted and we needed big names, and we felt that was what we had to do, and it made a big splash. We were recognized not only domestically but internationally, and we were able to build the club. But after we kind of evolved over the next year or so, we realized that, okay, we understand the market. We have a fan base that follows the team, and the strategy was to get younger with the players that we brought in. So I think there'll be a balance of that, but I think we'll probably go likely on the side of bringing in younger, exciting players that can make an impact and potentially, have a resale value as well. And that's the direction the league is going. So, the league has changed so much from 2015, where we started NYCFC, to where it is today, not just from more teams that have come in, but there's, more discretionary money that we could spend. So we can bring and attract players as the league grows to MLS that we couldn't even at that time when NYCFC started. So it's learning from then in terms of what type of team and profile of players that really want to come here and want to make this their next step in their career. But also the exciting part of it is that, the league's in a different place, and the selling of MLS is completely different. And I lived that from year one to year two, three, four, that, the calls inward like increase more than me outward trying to get players to come and convince players to come. And that we're certainly past now in MLS. There's whether it's staff who wants to work, players who want to come play in MLS. We have an incredible city in Austin. So I feel that's already, my sensation with Austin is that there's a lot of interest. And so that's something that I guess going back that I've learned that there's things that have changed a little bit. But it's great. It's similar. We're starting more or less from scratch. And the big advantage we have is that, we have a blank piece of paper to build our culture. And that's something in New York that we all did a great job with, all the staff that came on board. You kind of as a staff and one of the originals that's there from the beginning, you really want to own because you're laying the foundation for the next 5, 10, 20 years. So you have a little bit of extra pride with that. And I get that sense already that everybody who's here from day one, not only wants to build for 2021, but even for beyond, and the impact we can make to the sport in Austin is something that we really believe in.
Claudio Reyna joining us here, sports director for Austin FC. This is some great stuff here for the fans. Just on the point of USL or a reserve team, any ideas on that? Anything you can share at this time?
Yeah, so I think similar to New York, we didn't have a second team, and we felt that for different reasons that the model we created was to loan players out to different teams. And I think in year one, it's unlikely that we'll have a squad big enough because our academy is still maturing. We're starting in the under 14 age team. Then we'll have 13s, 14s, and 15s starting this upcoming summer. So, you know, that needs to grow out, and then we'll eventually have players signed from our academy. But I think in year one, and talking to head coach Josh Wolf, that we'll likely keep the majority of our squad in Austin, especially for the first 3 to 4 months. And then if there are some players that need minutes and game time and experience, we will reach out to our network of clubs that we know in USL, and we'll find somewhere where a player can play, because it's important that they go and play. But after that, we'll see, I think, for 22 what we do. But I think, you know, in the short term, I think it's not a priority for us. We want to really focus on building a strong, competitive first team from year one, also build out the academy. And when these things kind of join up, which could be by 2022, then we need to have a solution, which could potentially be, you know, a USL or a second team sort of standalone, that we can have a group of 16 to 18 players that have a competitive program and schedule that'll help them prepare for the first team. So it's not an immediate priority, but it's something that will obviously be important for us as we grow the club out in the next few years.
So that was part one of Claudio Reyna. Stay with us on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Part two, right around the corner, after this word from some of our sponsors. And don't forget, our show presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, by the way, during the interview with John Walker, he did mention that he expects the Chicharito game against the LA Galaxy, the Dynamo opener, which will be on Univision, expecting that game to sell out well before that game is even played. So there's something to keep an eye on there. There are potential fans to earn there. Produce a good performance that night against the LA Galaxy. You get some people that might be first-timers coming back. All right, here's part two of Claudio Reyna, Austin FC sporting director. Talk about Josh Wolf real quick, and we'll do two or three more questions, and we'll let you go, Claudio. We really appreciate your time. Just, you know, you guys are obviously World Cup teammates. How does it mesh with Josh Wolf and Claudio Reyna?
Yeah, really good. You know, it's been great working with Josh. You know, I felt for the last couple of years, and, you know, that he was someone that, you know, is an assistant coach around the league, having worked with Greg Berhalter, and how, you know, good his teams were in Columbus, that he was going to get a chance as a head coach, probably, you know, in the inner circle of MLS and U.S. Soccer in the U.S., probably, you know, even a few years ago. So, you know, we're really lucky to have him. He sees the game really clear, and, you know, having worked with Greg, he has believes in the same philosophy, and, you know, he's very excited to make this jump and to be the main voice in the room, to lead training, to lead the team. He's very confident. He's very excited about, you know, starting a team from scratch. So he of course has a big part in the direction of how we shape this team and the type of players we're looking for. So we have those conversations all the time, and, you know, and you know, he has to now step up and sort of like hire his staff and do all these different things that he didn't do before. So, you know, they're to support him 100%. You know, I know him from as a teammate with the national team. He's a great person and, you know, highly respected. You know, the players are really going to enjoy playing for him. And he's young and energetic. He knows MLS really well, so it's really exciting for me to work with him. It's the first time I've worked with someone that I've played with. So we go back to the times we played together, and you know, and you know, it was a while ago, but we had some great experiences as teammates, and now to collectively build something with the great owners and a great city, we're both really motivated for, and we want to. You know, we really want to give back. You know, we both feel we've got an opportunity, you know, in a great city with an amazing owners, and we want to give everything to put on a great team and build also a great culture within the academy and the first team. So we see things very similar. So it's been really fun to work with them in the short time that we've spent.
Talking to Claudio Reyna, sports director here. We're going to finish up this interview here shortly. But when you're looking at player signings, are you looking for ones that can help you commercially off the field as well as on it? And I know the on-the-field thing is the first thing, but you did have a vast array of differing countries on the roster of New York City FC, and obviously I think people are talking South America and Mexico when it comes to Austin.
Yeah, we're going to be open. I think that's one thing I've certainly learned is that there's good players in all over the world, and you know this is certainly the global game, and for that reason there's some talented players in countries everywhere. But there's certainly going to be a higher focus of South American and Mexico as well, not necessarily just Mexican players, but there are many, you know, South American players who play in Mexico, and you know, the weather, the proximity, I think the demographics of Austin, there's a big Hispanic community that I'm really looking forward to continue to meet and build. So as you said, they need to perform and they got to be at a good level. But, you know, I think they're certainly, we're open to that, you know, players that can make the impact on the field as well as off the field to help build our club and give it the visibility that we feel it deserves, you know, domestically and also internationally. So, you know, there'll be some decisions that there's a sort of a broader strategy around it when we bring a player in. And so, you know, what's different to sort of an LA, New York, and Miami is that, you know, we just need to let people know that this is also a great city that's international, that's growing, it has great weather. So, you know, I think that's probably the one thing that we just need to, from a recruitment side, be aware of is that, you know, maybe not everybody around the world has visited or had the opportunity to go to Austin like they have some of the other bigger cities in our country. But, you know, we'll have, you know, some nice presentations and give them some nice, you know, information about what a great city Austin is. And, you know, we believe we'll be able to attract any big name player that's out there. And once we tell them our story, our stadium, and our city. So, you know, we're excited about that part of it, but it's important that it's a player that really wants to come, that wants to build something special, and that's got to be very important, and of course perform and be a player that can make an impact.
Talking to Claudio Reyna, sports director of Austin FC. This is the last question, and you knew I wasn't going to get away without asking you this. You must have been a very prideful father when your son came on for Dortmund. I got to watch his debut. What a debut it was. What an exciting moment for him. I always wonder with, you know, the type of career you had as a soccer player, the heights you went to, and a talented son, where is the line drawn between parent and then former pro who wants to give advice?
Well, yeah, I was certainly extremely proud of the moment. My family was watching it here, but I could tell you we were also very, very nervous because he came in at a critical time of the game, and it was 4-3 with 20 minutes left. But you know, he's worked so hard, and you know, I guess it changes as he gets older, and you know, when you see them growing up and he's 7, 8, 9, 10, he just loves playing and he loves playing many sports, but, you know, he obviously gravitated to playing soccer. And then, you know, as he moves forward, you know, he's very competitive. You know, he's very driven, and there was very little that I had to do, to be honest. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't someone that I had to push. You know, he always wanted to play. He always wanted to run around. He was very competitive. You know, he loved to score goals and attack, so he's clearly more of an offensive player. But, you know, I'm very much more a dad than anything. I always, you know, ask questions versus telling him what to do. And, you know, now at this stage that he's living abroad, I always, you know, just ask him how his day went, not how his practice went, and what's he doing later, what's he doing tomorrow. I think he's, you know, I kind of start stepping away from sort of the former player, you know, coach side of it and giving him advice all the time and just support him. But, you know, yes, he's I'm the first one he wants to talk about after a game and about plays and about certain things. And, you know, it's the little details of, you know, having good habits and good routine that I keep, you know, talking to him about, and making sure that he, you know, opens his eyes and his ears, and with the players that he's around there and the coach that he has, you know, he's very clever to know that. He's not someone who's going to be talking and being loud in the dressing room. So, you know, he's around incredible players, World Cup winners, you know, internationals of some of the best teams in the world. So he's just taking it all in, and that's what I tell him. I mean, this is all, you know, you're breaking through, you're learning, you know, you got to keep your mouth shut. And you know, when you get the chance to play, you obviously got to, you know, give everything and give 100%. So it's a lot of fun. I think, you know, I go back to kind of his whole journey and his whole pathway. And, you know, I never, ever put pressure on him. You know, he played other sports more than, unfortunately, I see nowadays there's too much specialization, not just in soccer, but in all sports. And I always tell parents my experience with Gio is he was playing basketball until he was 14 years old, and, you know, played tennis and in the summer, and he wouldn't pick up a soccer ball, and he'd go swimming, and, you know, so it wasn't this sort of like pressure that we put on him to become a professional soccer player. You know, we just kind of let him go in his own journey, and like I said before, he's very competitive, he loves playing. You know, but he also wants to reach the top the best he can, and he's at an amazing club. And, you know, so if he plays for Dortmund for 10 years and 12 years, it'd be an amazing career. So he's at a great place. They know how to take care of young players. You know, but it's the real deal. You got to perform, you got to play well. And, you know, every game, every minute's important, everything is earned, and he knows that. And so that side of it, as a former, you know, player, and having been through it as a professional player and played in different countries, you know, I give him sort of the reality check as well in the real world conversation, because he's stepped into the real world, right? Where it's all about winning. You know, you're competing with teammates who want to play. And so he's living it and seeing it, but to be able to do it at such a young age, it's certainly given him a really good head start, you know, with his experience at Dortmund at the first team. And so just really happy and proud of him. And, you know, it's the first step of a long journey. And, you know, he's 17, which is crazy. And he's going to be 17 for another 10 months. So, I mean, he's still learning the game. Then he's going to be 18. So these are all just sort of still formative years in his career, and will lay the foundation hopefully for, you know, a long career that he'll enjoy and you know, have great experiences and memories.
Wonderful stuff, and wonderful for your family. Claudio, I know we went long here, but I thank you very much for this. I think the fans of Austin FC and soccer fans in general around the country are going to really like this interview. Thank you very much. Best of luck continuing with all your responsibilities, and we thank you for coming on the program tonight.
Thank you, Glenn. I'll see you around. Thanks for having me.
All right, that does it for Soccer Matters tonight. Again, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And a big thank you to Advantage BMW and Hugh O'Connors. Big thank you to producer Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza, Jorge Clara. All these great interviews this past couple of weeks here with the help of all these wonderful gentlemen who are big contributors to this show. Until next week, remember, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And this Thursday, on Horn FM, on the Horn in Austin, Texas, at 8 o'clock. Good night, everyone.
ESPN 97.5.